next reading assignment. 1 Kings, David was old. Anybody remember how old David was? He's about to die. He's 70. He reigned 40 years, right? David was old and stricken with years, and they covered him with clothes, but he got no heat. So his servants said unto him, "Let there be sought for my lord the king a young virgin, and let her stand before the king, and let her cherish him, and let her lie in thy bosom, that my lord the king may get heat." So they sought for a fair damsel throughout all the coasts of Israel, and found Abishag, a Shunammite, from the town of Shunem, that's up in northern Israel, in Galilee, and brought her to the king. And the damsel was very fair, and cherished the king, and ministered to him, but the king knew her not. Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, "I will be king." But that wasn't his choice. That was David's choice, God's choice. And God had already chosen Solomon. Now, do you remember when David had sinned with Bathsheba, and Nathan came in to him and told him the little parable of the sheep? The rich man had taken the poor man's sheep, and David said, "He's going to restore fourfold, and he's going to die." And Nathan then said, "You're the man." Well, David's judgment came to pass. David, in effect, died. He became a mystery to himself and to everybody else. Nobody ever understood him again, because of the mercy God showed him, unlawful. And he also said he's going to restore fourfold. That meant, as I think I mentioned before, David would have to lose four sons. The first one was the baby. The second one was Amnon. The third one was Absalom. And the fourth one was Adonijah, trying to make himself king. He prepared 50 men to run before him. Now, Adonijah was the next in line as far as firstborn son, secondborn, whoever was interested. He was interested in being king. He made 50 men to run before him, just as Absalom once did. And his father had not displeased him at any time, saying, "Why are you doing this?" And he also was a very goodly man, and his mother bare him after Absalom. That doesn't mean that Absalom's mother was his mother. It meant that he was next in line after Absalom. Amnon was David's oldest son. He's dead. Absalom was third. He's dead. And Adonijah was fourth. He's dead. The second-born son was from Abigail, I believe. And his name was Daniel. One of his names was Daniel. And he didn't ever seem interested in politics. Maybe his mother was wise enough to warn him not to be. He never had a problem. Never seemed to be a peace-loving guy. Never hear of any problems with him. So anyway, Adonijah had a conference with Joab, David's nephew, with Abiathar the priest, and they, following Adonijah, helped him. But Zadok the priest, Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, Nathan the prophet, Shimei and Rei, whoever they are, they're smart guys, and the mighty men which belonged to David, they were not with Adonijah. And Adonijah threw a great feast. Sheep, oxen, cattle, which is by Enrogel, which is outside of Jerusalem, to the east, a fountain there, or a spring bubbling up out of the ground. And they called all his brethren, the king's sons, and all the men of Judah, the king's servants. But Nathan the prophet and Benaiah and the mighty men and Solomon he didn't call. Why not? Well, why didn't he invite Nathan? There's a great lesson in this. He didn't call Nathan because he knew it wouldn't work. You stay full enough of the Holy Ghost and you won't even be invited by wrong spirits to come to the party. They'll know. Glory to God. They'll know you just don't fit in. Nathan just didn't fit in. Benaiah just didn't fit in. The mighty men didn't fit in. Solomon didn't fit in. So they weren't invited. I've seen some of God's children pout because they weren't invited to certain functions. And I think, what in the world? You ought to be shouting. When Nathan saw it, though, he knew what was up. And Nathan spoke to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, saying, "Have you not heard that Adonijah, the son of Haggith, doth reign? And David, our Lord, doesn't know it?" So he came up with a plan. He said, "You go in first and ask David why he's made Adonijah king instead of Solomon the way he promised. And then I'll come in and I'll ask him the same question. We know he's old, we know he's very sick, near death, but maybe both of us working together can stir up something here. Because if he gets to be king instead of Solomon, you and I both may not live long because we don't fit in." So Bathsheba, in verse 15, went into the king into the chamber, and the king was very old, and Abishag the Shunammite ministered there unto the king. And Bathsheba bowed and did obeisance to the king. And the king said, "What do you want?" And she said, "My lord, you swore by the Lord thy God unto thy handmaid, me, saying, 'Assuredly Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne.' And now, behold, Adonijah reigneth, my lord the king. And now, my lord the king, thou knowest it not. And he slain oxen, fat cattle, sheep in abundance, and hath called all the sons of the king, and Abiathar the priest, and Joab the captain of the army. But Solomon your son he hath not called. He hath not called. And thou, my lord, O king, the eyes of all Israel are upon thee, that thou shouldest tell them who shall sit on the throne of my lord the king after him. Otherwise, it shall come to pass, when my lord the king shall sleep with his fathers, that I and my son Solomon are going to be counted offenders." You know what happens to offenders. And while she yet talked with the king, Nathan the prophet also came in. Now, it doesn't say so here, but Bathsheba had to go out so that Nathan could talk to the king. We know she went out because when Nathan finishes talking, David has to call her back in. And they told the king, saying, "Nathan the prophet." And when he was come in, he bowed with his face to the ground. And Nathan said, "My lord, O king, hast thou said, 'And I, Adonijah, shall reign after me, and he shall sit on my throne?' He's gone down this day and hath slain oxen and fat cattle and sheep in abundance, and has called all the king's sons and the captains of the army and Abiathar the priest. And behold, they eat and drink before him and say, 'God save King Adonijah.' But me, even thy servant, and Zadok the priest, and Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and thy servant Solomon, has he not called? Is this thing done by my lord the king, and thou hast not showed it unto thy servant, who should sit on the throne of my lord the king after him?" Then King David answered and said, "Call me Bathsheba." Now, we're not told this, but Nathan had to go out. We know this because when he finished talking to Bathsheba, he had to call him back in. Not but one person at a time had this private audience with the king unless he gave permission. "Call me Bathsheba." And she came to the king's presence and stood before the king. And the king sware and said, "As the Lord liveth, that hath redeemed my soul out of all distress, even as I swear unto thee by the Lord God of Israel, saying, 'Assuredly Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne in my stead,' even so will I certainly do this day." So he's going to make Solomon king before he dies to make sure that he's there. "Then Bathsheba bowed with her face to the earth and did reverence to the king and said, 'Let my lord King David live forever.' And King David said, 'Call me Zadok the priest, and Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada.' And they came. And the king said unto them, 'Take with you the servants of your lord, and cause Solomon my son to ride upon my own mule, and bring him down to Gihon.'" That's another spring outside of Jerusalem, within shouting distance of the other one. Maybe not within sight, right around the corner of the hill, but they could hear each other. They got loud. In verse 34, "Let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him there king over Israel. And blow ye with the trumpet and say, God save King Solomon. Then ye shall come up after him, that he may come and sit upon my throne, for he shall be king in my stead, and I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and over Judah. So they did that. Verse 38, Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, the Kerethites, the Pelethites, went down and caused Solomon to ride upon King David's mule and brought him to Gihon. And Zadok the priest took an horn of oil out of the tabernacle and anointed Solomon, and they blew the trumpet. And all the people said, God save King Solomon. So you've got one crowd saying, God save King Adonijah, and another crowd around the corner saying, God save King Solomon. And all the people came up after him, and the people piped with pipes and rejoiced with great joy, so that the earth rent with the sound of them. And Adonijah and all the guests that were with him heard it, as they had made an end of eating. And when Joab heard the sound of the trumpet, he said, what is this noise of the city being in an uproar? He still thought he was in control. He had just been removed from office and hadn't found out yet. And while he yet spake, behold, Jonathan, the son of Abiathar, the priest, came. And Adonijah said to him, come in, you're a valiant man, and bring good tidings. Yeah, right. And Jonathan answered, well, he did. This was good for Israel. Jonathan answered and said to Adonijah, verily our Lord King David hath made Solomon king. Kind of spoiled this whole party. The king has sent with him Zadok and Nathan and Benaiah, the Kerethites and the Pelethites, and have caused him to ride upon the king's mule. And Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet have anointed him king in Gihon. And they are come up from thence, rejoicing, so that the city rang again. This is the noise that you have heard. And Solomon is sitting on the throne of the kingdom. Now verse 49, and all the guests that were with Adonijah were afraid and rose up and went every man his way. And Adonijah feared because of Solomon. And he got up and went to the altar and grabbed hold of the horns of the altar. And it was told Solomon, saying, behold, Adonijah feareth King Solomon, for lo, he hath caught hold of the horns of the altar, saying, let King Solomon swear unto me today that he will not slay his servant with a sword. And Solomon said, if he will show himself a worthy man, there shall not a hair of him fall to the earth. But if wickedness shall be found in him, he shall die. And Solomon sent some of his servants, soldiers, and they brought Adonijah down from the altar, and he came and bowed himself to King Solomon. He didn't have a choice. Can you imagine coming from being king and puffing yourself up to falling on your face? It's a big change in one day. And Solomon said, go to your house. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Why does he say that, Leah? I go the way of all the earth. That meant he was spinning around all the time? That's how the earth does. It spins around. What does it mean? Maybe 73% water? The way of the earth. Or 78 or whatever it is. What does it mean, Kathy? I go the way of all the earth.
What comes to my mind is...
What
comes to my mind is you're only appointed once to die.
Yeah, everything on earth is dying. Mm-hmm. I'm going just like all the earth. Mm-hmm. I'm dying. The other person in the Bible who said that phrase when they got ready to die was Joshua. I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show yourself a man. Keep the commandment of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, and his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself, that the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, if your children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. Moreover, you know also what Joab, the son of Zeruiah, did to me, and what he did to the two captains of the host of Israel, unto Abner and Amasa, whom he slew, and shed the blood of war in peace, and put the blood of war upon his girdle that was about his loins, and in his shoes that were on his feet. Do therefore according to thy wisdom. Solomon already had a propensity toward wisdom. And let not his hoar head, his white head, go down to the grave in peace. Don't let him die of old age.
What was they referring to when he said what Joab did to me?
Well, he got David into a lot of trouble. When he murdered Abner, he ran the risk of continuing the division between Israel and Judah. And when he murdered Amasa, that could have started another civil war right there. David took it personally because he was making a league with Abner to join the country back together, and he had also agreed with Amasa to put him in Joab's place. Joab murdered him. Somebody could have suspected David was in on it, especially with Abner. Well, he also killed Absalom when he had been commanded not to. And David certainly would have taken that personally.
What would win that Solomon did that Solomon he didn't die?
He couldn't. If he was going to start killing people, he'd be first in line. Couldn't do it. But he knew Solomon would not be safe with Joab around. But show kindness unto Barzillai the Gileadite, and let him be of those that eat at thy table. For so they came to me when I fled because of Absalom, thy brother. And Solomon, you have with you Shimei, son of Gera, a Benjamite of Bahurim, who cursed me with a grievous curse in the day when I went to Mahanaim. But he came down to meet me at Jordan, and I swear to him by the Lord, saying, I will not put thee to death with the sword. Now therefore hold him not guiltless, for thou art a wise man, and you know what thou oughtest to do to him. But his hoar head bring thou down to the grave with blood. So David slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. And the days that David reigned over Israel were 40 years, 7 in Hebron, 33 in Jerusalem. Then sat Solomon upon the throne of David his father, and his kingdom was established greatly. Now Adonijah came up with a scheme. He was still wanting to be king. But he thought that Bathsheba could help him. So he came to Bathsheba, and she was a little bit startled and afraid when he showed up. She said, have you come peaceably? He said, yes, this is just a friendly visit. And I want you to ask a favor of Solomon. I know he doesn't like me so much, but, you know, maybe you could get him to do me a favor. And she said, well, what do you want? He said, you know that young virgin from Shunem, Abishag? She never really was my father's wife, so to speak. I sure would like to have her for my wife. And she said, well, I'll ask him. Now, some people think Bathsheba knew what was going on and she wanted to get rid of Adonijah. I don't know. She doesn't come across that way to me. She comes across to me as very innocent. You know the kingdom was mine, and that all Israel set their faces on me that I should reign. But the kingdom has turned about to become my brother's, for God gave it to him. So he's like, okay, you know, I'm just going to have to roll with the punches. Yeah. Not really saying what's on his heart. But when a man comes to the throne and he takes the preceding king's wives, that's it. That's why Ahithophel, you remember him? That's why he told Absalom, if you really want to make people know you are set on being a king, you take David's wives in front of everybody. I mean, that was a definitive thing there. So for Adonijah to ask for Abishag would have held a lot of significance for people in Israel. Would have been another civil war. I don't think Bathsheba caught all that.
What's amazing to me is because Solomon didn't know.
Yeah, like Solomon didn't know, wouldn't have caught it. Maybe he was going on a technicality. The marriage was never consummated. You know, really didn't count. Hoping they'd think that. Bathsheba was his mother, maybe worked on his heart a little bit.
I don't think he felt that he was
expect as much comes. I think he knew exactly how to move about it.
Yeah.
Spirit is unfitting.
Spirits that people are under a whole lot of times are wiser than the people. The spirit of slander is wiser always than the person it uses. If they knew what kind of spirit it was, they'd run from it. Spirits are wiser than men. She says in verse 18, okay, I'll speak for you to the king. So, shortly after that, Bathsheba went to King Solomon to speak unto him for Adonijah. And the king rose up to meet her and bowed himself unto her, and then sat down on his throne, and caused a seat to be set for the king's mother, and she sat on his right hand. He loved his mother. Then she said, can I ask you a small favor? Please, don't tell me no. And the king said unto her, ask on, my mother, I will never tell you no. Huh? Oh, yeah, he won't ever tell you no. Boy, he knew how much Solomon loved her, didn't he? That's why when he got to be king, he would have to kill both of them.
I was going to say, if she knew what she was doing, he'd have killed her as soon as he got the throne, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It'd have been her own murder, that's why.
It's been hard to imagine her really knowing what she was asking for here. That's right, Jimmy, because if she knew, then she knew he would get to be king and she'd be dead. And she said, let Abishag the Shunammite be given to Adonijah, thy brother, to wife. Can you imagine what Solomon looked like then? King Solomon answered and said unto his mother, and why do you ask for Abishag the Shunammite for Adonijah? Why just stop there? Go ahead and ask me to get off the throne too. Don't you know what this means? Ask for him the kingdom also. He's my older brother. Even for him and Abiathar the priest and Joab the son of Zeruiah. He discerned right away that Adonijah put her up to that. King, swear by Jehovah, saying, God do so to me and more also, if Adonijah has not spoken this word against his own life. Now therefore, as the Lord liveth, which hath established me, and she probably realized pretty quick how she'd been used too, which hath established me and set me on the throne of David my father, and who hath made me a house, as he promised, Adonijah shall be put to death this day. Benaiah was somewhere close by. King Solomon sent by the hand of Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and he fell upon him and that he died. That didn't mean he fell on him. It meant he killed him.
Now I'm just curious. I'm just wondering how old Benaiah was back then.
I don't know. We're never told.
And he had to be getting some age on him.
Yeah.
He started real, real young with David.
I don't know when he started with David. He was one of David's mighty men all those years, though.
I'm thinking God killed him.
Yes, he did. Then he called Abiathar there and said, you go to Anathoth. Anathoth is a little town in Benjamin where the prophet Jeremiah came from later. You go to Anathoth and to your own field. You're worthy to die, but I will not at this time put thee to death, because you bear the ark of the Lord God before David my father, and because you were afflicted in all wherein my father was afflicted. You remember Abiathar had to flee from Saul with David for a lot of years. Long time, anyway. So Solomon thrust out Abiathar from being priest unto the Lord, and that ended the line of Eli. Remember Eli, 1 Samuel, how God swore he was going to kick him out of the priesthood, he and his sons? This is it. Abiathar was the last one. So that promise has come to pass. And he fulfilled the word of the Lord which he spake concerning the house of Eli and Shiloh. Then rumors were flying in Jerusalem, and Joab heard about what was going on. He'd heard there was a purging going on, and he knew what was coming to him. He knew what he had coming. So he fled to the tabernacle of the Lord. That's Gibeon. At Gibeon. and caught hold on the horns of the altar. And it was told King Solomon, Joab has fled to the tabernacle of the Lord, and he's by the altar. So Solomon sent Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, saying, go fall upon him. Benaiah came to the tabernacle of the Lord, and he said, thus saith the king, come out here. Joab said, no, I'm going to die here. Benaiah didn't know what to do. So he went back to King Solomon and said, he's in the tabernacle courtyard. He grabbed hold of the horns of the altar. He won't come out. And the king said to him in verse 31, well, do as he says. If he wants to die there, let him die there. Fall upon him and bury him, that you may take away the innocent blood which Joab shed from me and from the house of my father. And the Lord shall return his blood upon his own head, who fell upon two men more righteous and better than he, and slew them with the sword, my father David not knowing thereof, namely Abner and Amasa. Their blood shall therefore return upon the head of Joab and upon the head of his seed forever, but upon David and upon his seed and upon his house and upon his throne there shall be peace forever from the Lord. So Benaiah the son of Jehoiada went up, went into the courtyard of the Lord, and killed him. And somebody buried him in his own house in the wilderness over toward Jordan from Jerusalem. And the king put Benaiah the son of Jehoiada in his place over the army. And Zadok the priest did the king put in the room of Abiathar. And the king sent and called for Shimei. Shimei knows what he's got coming. Oh, I'm telling you. Get things straight. He took his father's commandments serious. Called for Shimei. Shimei came in and bowed before him, probably wondering how long he would live now. But Solomon gave him a test. He said, build a house in Jerusalem, and you live there, and do not leave this city. For it shall be that on the day that thou goest out and passest over the brook Kidron, that's a little creek at the bottom of the hill of Jerusalem. You couldn't go any farther than that. It'd go down to the spring at Gihon or in Rogel, but couldn't go across Kidron Valley. Know for certain that thou shalt die. Your blood shall be on your own head. It'll be your fault. Shimei said unto the king, thy saying is good. So he agreed to those terms. As my lord the king has said, so will thy servant do. And Shimei did that. He built a house and he lived in Jerusalem a long time. But then he had a couple of servants run away to Philistia. And he hopped on his mule and when he found out where they were, and went and got them and brought them back. But a little bird came to Solomon. Matter of fact, I suspect Solomon might have suggested those servants that they run away. But I don't know. I don't know. I wouldn't put it past him. A little bird came and told Solomon, you know, Shimei went across that brook Kidron. At least, if he didn't go in it, Kidron actually is in the wrong direction. So he must have gone. But the point was, you can't leave Jerusalem. He could come in with a lawyer and say he did not go across that brook Kidron. He went the other way. But the point was, you couldn't leave. He could have had Bob for his lawyer. But even that wouldn't have prevailed. Because the point was, not going across the brook Kidron, but not leaving Jerusalem. So the king called him in there. Verse 42, the king sent and called for Shimei and said unto him, did I not make thee to swear by the Lord and protested unto thee, saying, know for certain on the day thou goest out and walkest abroad anywhere that thou shalt surely die? And you said unto me, the word that I have heard is good. Why then hast thou not kept the oath of the Lord and the commandment that I have charged thee with? Now, this was 3 years after he agreed. So this was during the time the temple was being built. He had to stop and was overseeing the temple to deal with this problem. And the king said moreover unto Shimei, you know all the wickedness that your heart is privy to. I wonder if Shimei hoped Solomon didn't know about that. That thou didst to David my father. Therefore the Lord shall return thy wickedness upon thine own head, and King Solomon shall be blessed. Isn't it something? Here's a king about ready to kill you, saying, I'm going to be blessed for doing this. And the throne of David shall be established before the Lord forever. So the Lord commanded Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, which went out, took him out, didn't kill him right there with Solomon, fell upon him and he died, and the kingdom was established in the hand of Solomon. Well, Solomon began to make some mistakes now. He began to make political covenants with foreign kings that included marrying their daughters. The first was Pharaoh. Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he had made an end of building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall of Jerusalem round about. Only the people sacrificed in high places because there was no house built into the name of the Lord until those days.
In marrying Pharaoh's daughter, would he require her to become a Jew?
He didn't. Later.
That seems so strange. I mean,
you know what it says in 2 Chronicles? You remember, Amy? About Pharaoh's daughter? It said he took her out of the city of David because that was a holy place. His wife was not holy. So he had to get her out of there. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
To marry a woman that wasn't even in contact with God, so that she couldn't even stay in the city of David, around where the temple was being built, and just move her out of town.
Did he build her a separate palace or something?
Then he built her a house over in Gezer. He built Gezer for her. I was in Gezer. Jimmy, Debbie, RJ, who else?
Sammy.
And we were walking around the hills there talking about, here's some old geezers in Gezer. I don't know. We're not told, huh? I just don't know. We're never told how old it was.
Even though it doesn't say there's a possibility that he may have given him one
of
his daughters to one of his kids?
Yeah.
So that would
it would have been a very possibility, a very great possibility. That would have been normal to exchange daughters or something like that. Well, I don't know if Solomon did that, but that wouldn't have been abnormal to do that. So he took this heathen wife in a deal with Pharaoh. But he didn't realize what the results of that is. Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. The only thing was he sacrificed and burned incense in high places, and of course God didn't want him to do that. But the tabernacle was in Gibeon, so he went to sacrifice there, for that was a great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. That night the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream. And God said, ask what you want. Well, now, we read in Proverbs 4 through 9 how David over and over and over said, get wisdom, get understanding, get wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. Understanding. With all you're getting, get understanding. So, he asked God for understanding so that he could be a good king. And verse 10...
This happened before that happened, so that happened. Did this just brighten the saints and get in order here? I mean,
you mean, did Solomon marry Pharaoh's daughter before he asked for wisdom?
Yes.
I don't know. It's written before it. We can't figure this stuff out. That's one of those secret things that we don't know. In verse 10, the speech that Solomon gave to God in answer to his offer to give him anything pleased the Lord. And God said to him in verse 11, because you have asked this thing and have not asked for yourself long life, neither have asked riches for yourself, neither have asked the life of your enemies, but you have asked for yourself understanding to discern judgment so that you could be a good king. Behold, I have done according to thy words. I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And besides this, if you walk in my ways and keep my statutes and my commandments as thy father David did walk, I will give you a long life. Boy, what an offer. And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream, and he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord and offered up burnt offerings and offered peace offerings and made a feast to all his servants. He was happy about that. Well, then there came two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. And one woman said, My lord, I and this woman dwell in one house. I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day later, after that, I was delivered. This woman also had a baby, and we were together. There was no stranger in the house with us, just us two and our babies in this house. And this woman's child died in the night because she turned over in bed and suffocated it, laid on top of it. And she arose in the middle of the night and took my son from beside me while I was still sleeping and laid it in her bosom and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had really looked at it in the morning in the light, it was not my son, which I did bear. And the other woman said, No, but the living is my son, and the dead is your son. And this one said, No, but the dead is your son, and the living is my son. And thus they spake before the king. And the king said, This one says, This is my son that liveth, and your son dead. And the other said, No. Your son is dead. My son is living. I've never seen either one of these two women. I don't know whose baby is who. But they know whose baby is who. So how can I get... He can't get a liar to tell the truth. So he's got to get the person who tells the truth to convince him. So he comes up with this insane idea. To cut the living baby in half and divide it between them. Then everybody will be happy. So he calls for a sword and says, cut the baby and living baby in half and let's divide it between them and get this over with. And the real mother screamed out, No, give it to her. Don't kill it. And the other one said, No, that's a wise judgment, king. Cut it in half and just divide it. And the king said, Don't kill the child. Give it to the mother right there. The mother is the one that doesn't want it to die. Boy. I've often wondered what David did to that liar. I just don't know. We're not told. Well, Junior, ask something I know.
Would that be considered bearing false witness?
Yeah. There's no question she was worthy of death, but just don't know what he did. Verse 28, all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. So King Solomon was king over all Israel, and these were the princes which he had. Azariah, the son of Zadok the priest, Elihoreph and Ahiah, sons of Shisha, scribes. Jehoshaphat, the son of Ahilud, the recorder. You've heard of him before. Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, was over the army. Zadok and Abiathar, for a few days, were the priests. Abiathar's out now. Azariah, the son of Nathan, was over the officers. And Zabud, the son of Nathan, was principal officer and the king's friend. So Nathan had two sons that were very close to Solomon. Ahishar was over the household, and this man named Adoniram, which is called Adoram in your reading for this week coming up, was over the tax collector. When the country goes into civil war, he's put to death by the 10 tribes in the north when he goes up there to collect taxes. And Solomon had 12 officers over all Israel, which provided victuals for the king and his household, each man for a month and a year. I want to show you something about this. Here are the 12 sections of the country that had to supply Solomon and his palace with food, each section 1 month out of the year. I want you to notice something on here. First month, the man over Ephraim had to supply the king with all this food. And it lists how much food there was for him to supply each month. If I can find it here. Look at this, verse 22, Solomon's provision for one day for his household and his palace to eat. 30 measures of flour, 60 measures of meal, 10 fat oxen. Anybody ever been really close to an ox? They are huge. I rode past them as they were being driven along the road down in Haiti. We'd ride past this cart being drawn by oxen. I was sitting in the car looking up at it. Not up like that, but they are big animals, huge animals. 10 of them each day. 10 fattened oxen, 20 oxen out of the pastures, 100 sheep, besides harts and roebucks and fallow deer and fatted birds. My goodness, that's his provision for one day. A lot of people eating at his table. And each part section of the country, each of the 12 sections of the country here, had to supply that each day for Solomon 1 month out of the year. Do you notice that there's a section that's not included? Judah is exempt. You got any ideas why? Why, Elijah?
Because Saul told David that his household was going to have to
kill. That's right. Remember when Saul said whoever would kill Goliath, his household would be free in Israel? This is Saul's commandment, not Solomon's. He's just keeping the law. Judah is free because David killed Goliath and saved Israel. Now you see, Elijah, the benefit of studying with your mother?
They would have had every tribe. A lot of people involved gathered all this.
Oh yeah. It was Solomon's administration was so complex the Bible can't even tell us about it. He really had an organization, civil administration, to handle all of this. Verse 20, Judah and Israel were many as the sand which is by the sea in multitude, eating and drinking and making merry. There was peace everywhere, prosperity such as never had happened. God began to make this man so rich and wise that all of God's people, all they had to do was live and be happy. You ever feel rich? Just live and be happy. That's what God's after. A happy people. And Solomon reigned over all the kingdoms from the river. Amanda, what's the river? Right above Marlena's head. From the Euphrates River all the way down through Canaan to the south. Just the way God promised Abraham. Promise of Abraham to rule from southern Canaan all the way up to the river was never known in Israel's history except in the late days of David and most of the life of Solomon. That's it. Before and after then, they're just in Canaan. Solomon has control of everything up the Euphrates River now. Do I know the answer? He probably had the Philistines under tribute. And that's all he had. North of Canaan up to Euphrates, all he did, they didn't occupy those places as far as taking them over and kicking out the people. They just paid tribute to Solomon. He had authority up there, but the Israelites didn't possess the land. Thank you. Good question. Verse 25. And Judah and Israel dwelt safely, every man under his vine and under his fig tree, from Dan to Beersheba, That's the way we would say from Maine to California. From Dan in the north to Beersheba in the south. All over the country, all the days of Solomon. No problems. Solomon had 40,000 stalls of horses for his chariots, 12,000 horsemen. And those officers provided victual for King Solomon and for all that came to the king's table, every man in his month. They didn't lack anything. They had so much, they didn't have any problem doing it. Barley also and straw for the horses and dromedaries brought they into the place where the officers were, every man according to his commandment. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country. That's where the Magi came from, the wise men. And all the wisdom of Egypt. He was wiser than all men. He was wiser than Ethan the Ezrahite. Woo. And Heman. Woo. And Karkol. Woo. And Darda. Are you sure? The sons of Mahol? He was wiser than all those men? Whoa. Of course, if you'd have been alive then, you'd have known who they were talking about. They were some smart people. And his fame was in all nations round about. And he spoke 3,000 proverbs. We have less than a third of that in the book of Proverbs. Yep, and his songs were 1,005, and we only have one of them. He spoke of trees, from the cedar tree that is in Lebanon, even to the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. He spake also of beasts and of fowl and of creeping things and fishes. And there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all kings of the earth which had heard of his wisdom. And Hiram, the king of Tyre, sent his servants to Solomon. For they had heard that he had anointed him king. They had anointed him king in the room of his father. Hiram was always a lover of David. And Solomon sent to Hiram saying, this is what Solomon sent to him saying. Instead of reading this in the two books, Kings and Chronicles, I wrote out Solomon's contract with Hiram in language something like he would have said. I, Solomon, was made king of Israel and Jerusalem in the stead of David my father, and when my father would have built an house unto the Lord our God, he would not allow him, saying, Thou shalt not build a house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood. Nevertheless, because it pleased the Lord that it was in my father's heart to build him a house, he gave him the pattern for the house and its chambers and treasuries, its parlors, the oracle, the porch, the courts thereof. Moreover, he gave him the orders of the service for the priests and the Levites, and the pattern for the fashioning of the furniture of the house and for all the vessels of the ministry. He gave him the measure of the weight of gold for those things to be made of gold, and the measure of the weight of silver for the things to be made of silver, for all the instruments of all manner of service before the Lord. All this, said my father David, the Lord made me to understand in writing by his hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern. To this my father David added thousands of instruments of music, which he cunningly invented to be used for the praise of our God who dwells with his people Israel. And though the Lord forbade my father to build him a house, yet my father, according to the abundance of the wealth with which he was prospered of God, did gather together for the building of the house a great store of gold and silver and brass and iron and wood. And more, he gathered for the work of the house all manner of precious stone and marble stone in abundance. Also of the spoils won in battles did my father dedicate to maintain the house of the Lord. And all that Samuel the seer and Saul the son of Kish and Abner the son of Ner and Joab the son of Zeruiah and all that the people had dedicated unto the Lord was secured under the hand of Shilamith and his brethren. And even of his own goods did my father dedicate to the Lord with much gold and silver. And he provoked by his example many of the elders and princes and captains and rulers in Israel to do the same. To wit, willingly of their own store to offer gold, silver, brass, iron, and precious stone to the treasure of the house of the Lord. Then when my father had died, after that he had given me commandment concerning the building of the house of the Lord, I, Solomon, set about with my whole heart to build the house according to the pattern which was given to my father David by the Lord God of Israel. And when I had sent messengers to Hiram, ruler of Tyre and friend of David my father, who built for my father a house when he had begun to be king over all Israel, then did I, Solomon, agree with Hiram, ruler of Tyre, to the terms of the contract now described. Solomon agreed to provide for the household of Hiram 20,000 measures of wheat, and 20,000 should be baths of pure oil. And for the laborers of the king of Tyre, 20,000 measures of beaten wheat, the same of barley, 20,000 baths of wine, and 20,000 baths of oil. And at the completion of all the labor, shall Solomon the king secure to the king of Tyre, even Hiram, the friend of David, 20 cities of the territory of Galilee. Furthermore, to accomplish with the servants of Hiram the labor required, shall Solomon provide 10,000 Israelite servants each month to labor with the servants of Hiram in the manner of work as shall be determined. 70,000 slaves from among the strangers who dwell among the Israelites to hew timber. 80,000 slaves from among the strangers, not Israelites, who dwell among the Israelites to bear burdens, to such an extent and in such places as shall be determined, whether bearing sustenance for the laborers, or whether bearing trees of Lebanon from the mountains to the coast, or from Joppa to Jerusalem, or whether bearing algum trees and gold from Ezion-Geber, or whether bearing the great stones from their place to Mount Moriah, or the brass works of Hiram from the clay ground between Succoth and Zarethan, or whatever burdens there may be. 3,600 overseers over these slaves from among the strangers which dwelt in Israel shall be available. Now, Saul, who was the father of Ham? Is that right, Kathy? Is she right? Father of Ham is Noah. Who was Noah's grandson that Ham cursed?
Ham didn't curse anybody.
He didn't.
Noah cursed Canaan,
who was the father of who?
Canaan's father is Ham, and Ham's father is Noah.
Yeah, so who was Canaan the father of?
Canaan?
Yes. Why did Noah curse Canaan?
Oh, because...
No, Og was not here yet. He was king in Bashan when Moses conquered that territory.
I said because.
Oh.
I mean, he didn't have any discretion.
Ham did not have any discretion whatsoever.
Yes. So he didn't have any discretion.
He saw
his father naked.
He saw
Canaan.
Esau. That's an entirely different story.
I forgot his name now. Okay.
His name is Ham.
Noah.
No.
He saw Noah's nakedness.
Ham saw Noah's nakedness, and went out and told his brothers instead of covering his father up. What did Noah do when he woke up and found out about it?
Noah cursed Ham's son.
Canaan. What was the curse, Kathy?
To be servants of servants.
To be servants of servants. Where was the first time that was ever fulfilled?
It had to do with Joshua. And he was fooled by it.
It has to do with Joshua at Gibeon.
He was fooled by the Gibeonites.
He was deceived by the Gibeonites. He made them servants to the Levites who were servants to the priests. So that made them servants of servants just the way Noah cursed Canaan. But in the time of Judges, all that fell apart because Israel didn't keep the law. During the days of Saul, it wasn't in effect. Everything was falling apart, military, religion, society. But now everything's being restored again, and here they are again, servants of the servants of the priests. They were doing the hard work,
the slave labor to gather the trees, to transport them, and other things have to do with the temple. So the Levites don't have to do it. The Canaanites are doing the hard work. They are servants of servants again.